Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, good to have the Major Billy Downer back with us again. Another edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. Major Downer, it's a pleasure to have you with us on a beautiful Wednesday night here in the Palmetto State. I'm actually up in Due West, an area that you know well, and this is a good hunting area, good fishing area for the people who live up this way. So I know you probably have some fond thoughts about all the outdoor stuff going on up here.
Sure enough, it seems like every few weeks we're saying welcome to deer season again, but it's deer season again. Mm-hmm. Deer season's opened up for right now for game zone 3, and it's so hot. Holy cow, so hot outside right now. It is just hard to actually go out and enjoy a deer season. But people have done it for years. You know, here it is, game zone 3, they're open. August 15th, gun hunts are open. And, of course, the antler deer only right now. The youth deer hunt was this past, the 14th of August. Again, here deer season is, and it's hot, and there's a few people killing some nice deer with deer and velvet. So this is the kind of time of year you're going to do that. Not in September typically as much, but in August right now you can still catch a deer that has not shed the velvet, which is that skin that covers those antlers where those antlers are still growing. That has long since been a trophy for certain hunters to be able to get a deer in a velvet. It's not something you get to do all the time. You don't necessarily see deer this time of year. You get the chance to get a buck in velvet. So a couple of those have been taken already this year. I've heard of that, seen some pictures. But nonetheless, we've got some hot weather, had some storms come through in the upstate. Mm-hmm. Officers working in Pickens area with a tornado at least. It was reported to be a couple tornadoes, but I think it was just a tornado. But again, we're also looking at the tropics right now, as we all know. The hurricane season starting to pick up in the full swing, and we're preparing for that. Our regions are ready to respond to that should that be a call that we get. And we know that as we push into September, this is when the tropical storms start pushing through.
Yeah.
We had that one just push through us this past, yesterday, basically. And it was pretty rough for people in the upstate. So we didn't get a whole lot down here, but it was pretty rough.
I was at North Greenville, and it was raining sideways at the football stadium there as that storm was blowing through. It had some really, really heavy clouds. And that brings up the question to ask you, like, when we have the hurricanes and when we have these heavy storms and all that, what's the initial reaction from the DNR people? How are you guys normally deployed to help out around the state?
So we've talked about it before. It's a good question, Phil. So for us, we have basically different zones that our officers are deployed to. Basically the coast is divided into upper coast, middle, kind of lower coastal areas. Our officers basically are we have a master list basically of who goes where. Everybody kind of knows that from the past. It's a kind of a known list. It changes and shuffles a little bit when somebody gets promotion. Supervisors are in certain spots, but mostly your regular officers are on the ground doing things. And they will deploy. When we say deploy, they're going to take a truck full of gas, four wheel on the back, sometimes take a boat. And they're going to go to a hotel somewhere along the coast that we take and put officers and stage them in what we call staging areas. And they assist from everything. We already did our full lane reversal exercise. So we assist with the lane reversals on the upper coast. 26 is the one everybody knows, but there's the upper coast up there, 501. And then down lower coast, I think, I can't remember the highway down toward Walterboro, they reversed too, toward Buford side. So our officers stand at traffic lights and road junctions to make sure if there's a lane reversal that people don't get in those lanes. We cause accidents. so that the lane reversal works the way it's supposed to. People can get out when we need to get out. And then, of course, we go back to the hotel, and it's been many a night I've sat in the hotel with the wind blowing sideways, power out. I've drove a Humvee through the middle of St. George one time in the middle of, I think it was Hurricane Floyd way back when. But we sit there and we wait it out, and then we move out. After the storm goes through, we move out again, and we're out like we were in Edisto with the sand, 3 feet high on the road, and we're going and checking to make sure folks are all right. Mm-hmm. On the coast, our coastal officers are really involved in what's called the river sweep, and that's up and down the intracoastal waterway. We're going and checking and making sure that boats get off that waterway. People don't realize how many people go up and down the intercoastal waterway. It's a common kind of a highway system for boats that a lot of people aren't aware of. But folks go up and down from New York to Miami, up and down the intercoastal waterway, and travel on that. And so our officers got to go out there and make sure that folks aren't on that waterway and may not know there's a storm coming. We got to get them off the water. So they go up and down from basically all the way from Buford, the Georgia, state line, all the way to North Carolina state line up at Little River. And we make sure folks are off the waterway. And that takes a little bit of time. We practice that every year, and we've actually employed that every hurricane we've ever had here in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah. No, so I was up in Cape Cod this past weekend for a wedding and got a chance to go out on a boat. Are you familiar very much at all with Cape Cod?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Don't tell me you saw a shark, because here we go with the shark story.
Well, we saw seals, but this was interesting. So there's two things I wanted to bring up, but you brought up the shark thing. So we're out on the boat, and it's a nice-sized boat, 100-horsepower engine, so it ran really well. And the bay there is called Pleasant Bay. If you're familiar with the movie The Perfect Storm, a lot of the scenes from that movie were shot in that bay, in that setting. But the two things, you mentioned the shark things. They have this thing, the driver was telling us, they have shark planes that fly overhead for people who are, fishing for shark. And these planes, they fly overhead, and then they direct the boats to where they see the sharks. The sharks don't really come into that bay. They stay out in the ocean. But these planes, he said, if you see this low-flying plane circling, that's a shark plane. And when they start circling, that means they've identified where sharks are, and they lead their people to them. But we saw seals and all that kind of stuff. But here's the other thing I want to tell you about. We talk a lot about boat safety in South Carolina. Well, I noticed as we were riding, and we were just most of the time, especially going out, we were going very slowly. But the boats were going past us and, like, making huge wakes, not slowing down at all. And I said to the driver, I said, what about, like, boating etiquette and all that kind of stuff? And he just sort of laughed, and he said, it's the Wild West out here. There are no wake rules. There's nothing to tell anybody to slow down or look out for the next boater. They did have the buoys and everything to direct you on one side or the other, but I just thought that was very interesting, since we talk so much in South Carolina about boating etiquette and boating safety and no wake zones and all that. They have no wake zones in that place, and they just let them cut it loose. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is interesting, because that's something we definitely push here, is being concerned about that wake. But, when you get offshore particularly, it is kind of what we would call ethics, which are unwritten rules. It's mm-hmm. not a rule about how far, you get from a boat necessarily offshore, but you certainly don't want to rock somebody's boat when you don't have to, for lack of a better word. But, when you talk about seals, anytime you see seals, they're sharks.
Yes.
Because they feed on the seals. So, something we don't have here is seals, but we do have sharks.
Yes.
We have the tigers. We don't have great whites as much. We have, we have tiger sharks and bull sharks mostly here. But the occasional big great white, as everybody knows now, we tag them and start following them. Everybody sees, I can't remember the name of that shark. It was Lucy or Mary, but she was offshore, 20-foot shark. My daughter kept watching online. You could watch and see where they were. But anyway, so deer season's in. Right now, what everybody's getting ready for is we prepare for September 1st, right around the corner. Labor Day, you know, we'll see dove season come in and deer season come in for game zone four. That starts September 1st. And this year, September 1st is on a Wednesday. So dove season will come in on the 4th of Saturday, and we'll have the Labor Day weekend dove season there as typical. So it's going to keep spreading as far as deer season comes in. You know, game zone 4 includes Sump to Clarendon and several other counties there from the standpoint all the way up to the Sand Hills and to Horry County, Florence, Marion, Dillon, Marlborough, Chesterfield will all come in September 1st. And then you'll have the upstate units, game zone 2 and 1 will come in eventually in October for gun hunts. But so right now, again, it's hot. Deer season's in. Not seeing as many deer right now in the fields. It's so hot, they tend to stay in the shade. But I was talking to a farmer yesterday just complaining about the deer in his field. And wanting to know what he could do about it. And I told him, I said, in 2 weeks, you can shoot them. I mean, that's what you do about it. You've got to have people. You know, here's the age-old argument, and we get into this. People get frustrated with deer depredation permits. When we talk about deer depredation, that is the method that we use to allow farmers to take deer off of their fields or to run deer out of their fields when they're eating their crop. I've used this analogy before. When a deer's got soybeans in his mouth or corn in his mouth, it might as well be dollar bills to a farmer. Mm-hmm. That's dollar bills leaving. And I understand that. And so we do what we can. But on the other side of things, your hunters, your sportsmen get upset. They think we give too many depredation permits out for deer. And the farmers on the other side are going, you don't give enough out. So it's kind of it's that ongoing battle. But we try to balance that out. We try to help farmers whenever we can to remove deer off fields where they're causing damage. But the biggest way to control that is to allow hunting throughout the hunting season because, again, in South Carolina, we've got 4.5 months in some areas that you've got an opportunity to take deer, and you need to use that to your advantage if you've got a deer problem in a crop field. So that's, you know, typical what happens if somebody goes in there and hunts on their land. These farmers having trouble with deer. The guy hunting is trophy hunting, so he's hunting a big buck only, won't shoot does, and the does are out there eating all the crops. So you've got to be willing to take does to control a deer herd when you've got too many in a field. I had a farmer yesterday tell me he can go take me to 100 deer in one soybean field where they have just wiped him out. And I understand that's frustrating. I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The only way to solve that, though, is to reduce the deer herd. And the only way to reduce the deer herd effectively is to have a hunting season where you can sit there where you're not driving in the middle of the night up there with a light and try to shoot one or two deer before you all run off. You're constantly hunting that field from a stand where you can take deer on a consistent basis so you can start backing down that population. But again, that's just that's what we go with everything right now. It's where it is. Fishing side of things right now. Mm-hmm. Folks catching some sea trout on the coast. Again, I've gone a couple of times, had some good days. McClellanville area, Charleston, all the way down to Buford, up the Little River, just depends on where you're going. But there have been some really good fishing days for trout. We see that. And, redfish, it's funny, you go trout fishing and you catch redfish, you're trying to catch a trout and you catch a redfish, and the people I was fishing with called them trash fish, which I thought was funny because a lot of people like to catch redfish. Redfish is a trophy here. A lot of folks like to catch the big reds so they can release them. But sheephead again, around structure, pilings, bridge and pilings. Those are where your sheephead are going to be, where there's barnacles on the edge of those structures. So they're eating that up and down, they're crushing those barnacles and the little fiddler crabs that run up and down the barnacles, they like to eat those too. Those are the fish that people are targeting. Flounder, you know, we changed our flounder limit. The size limit on flounder changed, but folks are doing pretty good with some flounder in certain areas. We see that, and we're happy to see that, but our flounder population, as we talked about, is down. So the limit is now 5 per person, 10 per boat. Hmm. That's it. Pretty drastic cut there, but flounder have to be 16 inches or greater to be able to keep them now. And that's if you're gigging or catching them, doesn't matter. Some folks have gone out gigging and done pretty well in the last few weeks here since the last show. So a lot going on around the state, as far as the fishing on the coast. Hunting right now, again, saw some nice pictures of largemouth bass off some of our lakes in the last week or two also. So, largemouth bass are still biting. They pretty much bite year-round anyway. But deer season is what most people are focusing on right now, getting their stands ready, working on making their stands safe. Remember, in the next 2 weeks, if your season isn't in yet, or if it is in, before you get in that deer stand, make sure before the night you go to go sit in that stand that you go inspect that stand beforehand. You make sure that it is in good working order, the legs aren't rotten, that it's secured, that it hadn't fallen over. Because here's the worst case scenario. You walk up to your stand and the stand's over on the side because you didn't take the time to go look before the season. And now you've walked all the way out to the stand, maybe a half mile, a mile, or what have you, and it's not ready to be sit in. You can't sit in it at all. Or worse yet, you climb up your stand and you find a whole nest of wasps in there. And I've done that. Uh-huh. And we have more accidents from people jumping out to run from the wasps than actually falling out of the deer stand at the very first of the season. They're just trying to get out, get away from them. And then there's always that pesky poison ivy, which I can't stand, poison oak. It runs me ragged. If I get in the stand and start clearing it, I'm going to get poison oak every time. Doesn't matter. It's just going to get me. It always gets me, or sumac, one of the three, will get me somehow. And I'll be broken out and have to go get prednisone and steroids. It makes you hungry and anyway. Those are the things we laugh about. But truly, taking time before you go to your deer stand right now, if you haven't done it by now, go do it before the season opens up in your area. Inspect those stands, clean them, make sure you check around the base of the stand that it's good and secured. Check your straps. Every year we have people fall out of tree stands because the straps are rotten and people are just too lazy to check them. That's just the honest truth. They're too lazy to check them. The nylon's great, but the sun will damage that nylon over time. Rain, drying out, cold weather, freezing. And the other part is squirrels. Squirrels love to chew on those straps. Don't ask me why, but they'll chew on them. And you go get in your stand, next thing you know, you're tipped out of the stand on your head from a 16, 20-foot stand. You can get seriously injured. Mm-hmm. And that happens more often than not, the strap breaking and the stand just twists in the tree. So making sure you have and to that point, make sure you have more than one strap in your stand. That way, if one breaks, you got a secondary strap. I always try to do my stand strapping to the tree with two straps. That way you know. But that if one breaks, you got another strap there to kind of hold you. Any way you can secure that stand. If you've got a self, a tower stand, make sure you drill that into the ground. I say drill in the ground, put an anchor in the ground and take a cable and tie that stand down so that it can't fall over on you or with you in it. Those are accidents that happen as well. Again, a little preventive maintenance can really make for a better deer season if you just take the time to look at everything and make sure your stands are in good working order and to avoid an accident. From the insects to the poison oak to the straps to making sure if it's a metal stand, it's not, I encourage folks not to use wooden stands anymore. They just rot too fast. There's too many metal stand companies out there that make a great stand for a very inexpensive price, and particularly as high as wood is now. I don't know why you make a stand out of wood. To lean up on anyway. The old nailed in wood ladder stands are horrible because they would rot and you break through the wood, the nails pull out, whatever. But get a manufactured stand, one that is certified by TMA, Tree Stand Manufacturer Association, so you know it's been made properly. And again, put enough straps on that stand. When you use metal stands, again, inspect those stands. Look at the joints, particularly at the place where the stand touches the tree, the teeth, and those arms on the back, that there's not a weld point that's rusted or any cracks or holes in it, because that's where that stand's going to give way. We see that too, where those metal pieces over, a stand that wasn't designed to sit there 20 years, has been there 15 years, and it's rotten, or it starts rusting in the corner or in a joint, and you put your weight in that stand, and that joint just pops, and again, the whole stand tips on you. Don't want to get skewered by a piece of metal or fall out the tree. It's just neither one of those make for a good day.
No.
So those are preventative tips for deer hunting. I want to get out there before we get to the deer season, because as we're at the beginning of deer season here, because folks just tend to forget about it.
I think those are great points. You're right. And did we start? I know you said certain zones. I mean, I've always related the start of deer hunting season to the start of football season, like early September. Are we starting a little bit earlier this year?
No, so game zone 4, remember I was talking about, is the lower part of the lower coastal area of the state, and it includes Richland. So it's just kind of one of those, it's always been that way. Orangeburg, Richland County are in game zone 3. I mean, Richland, Lexington, Calhoun, Aiken, Orangeburg, Barmel, Bamberg, Allendale, Hampton, Jasper, Buford, Colony, Charleston, Dorchester, and Berkeley open on August the 15th. It has been a tradition for years. That is still the season that opens up there. It is hot as fire. I don't know how they enjoy it, but they do. The next game zone opens is game zone 4, and that's Chesterfield, Marlboro, Darlington, Kershaw, Lee, Sumter, Clarendon, Williamsburg, Florence, Marion, Dillon, Horry, and Georgetown. Mm-hmm. That's game zone 4, and that will come in on September 1st for gun hunts. Most people are concerned in our state with gun hunts. That's when you want to know the season really starts when gun season comes in, when you can shoot a rifle or a shotgun. The game zone 2, which is Newberry, Saluda, Edgefield, Fairfield, and up toward Chester, Union, Spartanburg, game zone 2, that doesn't open up for guns until basically October 11th. And then game zone 1, the mountain unit, which is the mountains in the upper end of Oconee, Pickens, and Greenville County, the mountain unit doesn't open up until October 11th either. Anyway, that's the gun hunts there. So, and that goes through January 1st. So they have the shortest gun season in our state. They don't have the population that we do down the lower part of the state by any means.
Yeah. And the population down there where it's most, where it's the heaviest, is it heavy this year? Has it grown a lot since the last hunting season?
No. So typically, again, our deer season's around, our population's around 750,000, what we're finding now. We take around 250,000 deer a year, and we birth around 250,000 deer a year, so we're kind of stable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Out of the 750,000 deer we have, we basically pick up 250 and kill 250, so it basically stays around 750. Back in the 2000 time, into the 90s, we had reached a point of 1 million deer, and that's where we had a kind of a tipping point, and we had some disease hit and cut our deer back. Speaking of disease, one thing before we get off the show, we want to make sure we talk about is reminding folks of CWD. Chronic wasting disease is a deadly disease that we do not want in our state. If you hunt deer out of state, do not bring any part of that brain back in the state, the whole deer, have the deer skinned. As far as if you're going to mount a buck, make sure you take the cape and you get skull cap from the deer with your antlers. Have it caked, fully caked, skull cap with any brain matter removed on it. I know that sounds gross, but you don't bring the head back. You don't bring the body back. Folks will put the deer, whole deer in the back of the truck and bring it back with them. Well, you could bring chronic wasting disease back with you, and that's against the law. Mm-hmm. So I want to remind folks that if you hunt out of state, don't bring the whole deer back or any part of the backbone or bones with you, or the head, brain matter, any of that. If you kill a nice buck, find a taxidermist out there or somebody at a cleaning facility that will cape the deer for you and remove the antlers and make sure there's no brain matter in it.
Major Downer, great job as always. We certainly appreciate it. Good luck to those out there hunting over the next several weeks, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again, Phil.
Thank you, and thank you, Pat Daniel. That'll do it for Sports Talk and SC Wild. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow from Charleston Southern.